Good evening, everybody. We are live, Big Footy Tiger Cast, Monday night, slightly later start. Apologies, everybody. I appreciate everyone having patience and giving me some shit about going out for dinner. It's good to see the banter in full swing across all platforms. But no, always, we're always going to turn up on the Monday night, no matter what, rain, hail, or shine. So I appreciate everyone's patience there. Grok, how are you, mate? Welcome.
Yeah, good to be back, mate. Thankfully, all the paperwork is done. NDIS reports, pain in the ass, but all good now. The question is, though, was the food worth it?
Yeah, it was all right. It was all right. So at Trio's in Cranbourne, and actually went with your suggestion, which I didn't see when I looked at the initial menu, the pork lover's parma. So it was a parma with, pulled pork, salami, ham,
bacon.
Yeah, it was all right. The only thing was, it was just... the salad on there ruined it because the vinegar and the tomato juices and cucumber shit just leaked into it all, and it just killed it. So that was my fault. I forgot to ask for no salad when Lauren went up there. But we learned. But it was all right. It was all right. Went with the lemon, lime, and bitters for drink. Disappointing. There was no Brookvale Union on tap, which was a bit flattening.
How in this day and age do pubs not have Brookvale Union?
Like, not even in can form. They had nothing. Like, they're missing out. They had hard rated, but I'm like, I don't really want a solo. The lemon, lime, and bitter Brookvale Union was where it was at. That was on my mind, but no, it wasn't to be.
Speaking of the hard rated, they're actually bringing out the lemon lime version in a no sugar.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah, so I'm going to wait for that one. It'll be good.
Dinner with Ralph Carter set up the dust interview. Not quite. No, it was a father-in-law's birthday. But look, we've done a power of work to try and get Dusty on, and Ralph has liked a few of the tweets that we've made and a few of the tweets that you guys have made as well. But yes, yet no further contact as yet, but it was worth a dip. It was worth a cheeky go. So welcome to everybody who's in chat as well. All right, we'll get stuck into it. We obviously played the Cats on the weekend down your neck of the woods, Grok. And the Cats ended up winning by 30 points, 15-9-99 to 10-9-69, by 30 points, like I said. Goal kickers, with Samson Ryan popped up with two, which was really good to see. Dusty with two, LaFau with two, Mansell one, Cumberland one, Seth Campbell one, and Baker with one. It was... It was a story of two halves, really, wasn't it, Grok? I thought, and even Geelong supporters who I know have said the same thing, that in that first half that we were quite comfortably the better side.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, it's been probably the tail of our season for the best part of probably 75-80% of it, where we've gotten off to some really positive starts. And then after half time, you can obviously tell that being a younger side, haven't really got the experience in the match fitness that we're just dying off. But the rain couldn't have come at a worse time for us either. It just turned it into an absolute slogfest. And it's a bog at the best of times at Cadinia Park. So when it rains, that just completely screwed us. But how shit must Geelong be to be absolutely pantsed by a side that's got 25 fit players and they're just missing Dangerfield and Blitzarves at home?
It was like, impressive. Like, I mean,
must you be? I saw my aunt and uncle actually on the telecast. They showed them.
Halfway did through. They?
Yeah. And my uncle did not look happy. And he just gave me the flip the bird emoji. But seriously, for a side that pumped themselves up all preseason, this is us. One last flag tilt. They almost got done by a bunch of teenagers. Like, honestly.
Yeah, it was. I think if you had have asked all of our supporter base, that we'd be winning at halftime and looking pretty good, but we'd still lose the game. I think we would take that. But the pressure was kind of reminiscent of what we were doing against Sydney, but with a lot more inexperienced players. And I suppose this has been the thing that everyone's been wanting to see, because that pressure and intensity, that's an effort thing. That's not skill based. That anyone can do that, and that's why it was good to see all the kids cracking in. I was really, really pumped for Samson Ryan. He stood up and had a really good game, kicked some really clutch goals as well. And I think at the moment, and now especially with the bloody LaFau news as well, with the ACL, which we'll get to soon, but I think Samson Ryan's got to stay in there the rest of the year, no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the one thing that we've all wanted him to do is just compete, just to hold his ground, bring the ball to ground. And he did that pretty well against, you know, Geelong's starting defenders. You know, they had Kolajasny, they had Henry, and he more than held his own, which is what we want him to do at this point. He needs to start contributing. If he's not going to be on the scoreboard, he needs to at least start bringing others into it just by competing, and he did that, so fair play to him.
This is a good question, Gavin. I'm not sure, but it did cross my mind too, because CB was going to be spewing if Grind Myers got off the chain, but he didn't really do much, thankfully. Who else had it? LaFair, I thought early stages, LaFair was looking really good, and obviously ended up doing his knee, which is an absolute tragedy. This is probably the worst one, I think, of the lot, just with his story, where he's come from, the fact he already battled coming back from an ACL to get drafted in the first place, and he was making the most of his opportunity, and then this happened. So we obviously wish McKelty all the best, and hopefully the recovery is speedy, and he comes back stronger and bigger than ever. But he was looking really good early days. And Dusty as well, for that matter, was all... I mean, the whole front half seemed to be functioning well.
Yeah, I believe it was Flossden that played on Myers for most of the game. Flossden ended up taking a more shutdown role in that regard. That's why he didn't really get much of the ball in that first half. Absolutely gutted for Celts. Like, that was... Again, if there was one player that we probably couldn't afford to lose... It'd be LaFour right now. And, you know, lo and behold, it happens. And it raises question marks for next week about Bolter. You know, does he now go forward again? And do we bring in, you know, Jacob Blight, who had a ripping game? Or do we keep Bolter down back and bring, you know, Campbell Gray in, who also had a pretty solid game at VFL level? So there's question marks there. It's going to be interesting to see.
But, like we spoke about, Bolter, how much more shored up to be looked down back with Bolter down there?
Absolutely. It's no coincidence that we've been much more competitive for the last 2 weeks with our best defender, our best reader of the ball down back. That's his best position. I've maintained that's his best position. He looks much better when the ball's coming to him as a defender than it does coming to him as a forward. I think, again, tale of two halves in that game. Obviously, clearances were massive in the first half for us. We were all over them at one stage, 9-1 in the first quarter. But then they ended up absolutely pantsing us in the second half when it turned into a slog. Free kicks in that second half as well. They evened up pretty well. It was 11-5 at halftime, ended up being 20-19. So they got a good run when the game was there to be won. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, no one can take a look at that game and be disappointed with that. That's what we want to see week in, week out now. That has to be the standard that we set for ourselves. We don't want to go in against Adelaide and get done by 50 points now.
No, that's right. And I think if we can give that intensity and effort for a half, three quarters, and then we fade, I think people will be okay with that, because there's a natural expectation that young kids are going to fade. That's not sustainable yet with where they all are in their development cycle to be able to do that for four quarters. Like, we saw how long it took for us to get to that stage. We didn't even know it was coming in 17, I suppose. So I'm okay if we put teams under the pump seriously in the first half and then fade. I'm okay with that, because it's just part of their learning development. McAuliffe was another one. He looked really good again. I think he's another guy. You want to try and get him to 50 games as quick as possible. Thompson Dow, I still think, had a good game. I mean, I know people are a bit divided on him, but he's still playing the number one midfield role, and he shouldn't be number one midfielder. So he's doing a lot of heavy lifting for a young kid with not much experience. And Hugo Rollsmith was the other one, Grock, I think, who, again, played another really, really good game. I think he's put together maybe four or five pretty solid efforts now.
Yeah, absolutely. Besides Baker and LaFour, I probably would have Ralph Smith as our third best player over the course of the four quarters, just his ball use and his ability to take the game on. In regards to Thompson Dow, I think that was the most comfortable he'd looked playing as that clearance mid. That first quarter, he was just bouncing off the bigger blokes and winning clearances. They couldn't stop him from winning the ball. And so I can see the concern still. His body size, again, he's still too small to be that type of player consistently. But anyone who looks at that game and doesn't rate that he's got at least some AFL traits needs glasses, because he tore Geelong a new one in that probably the first 35, 40 minutes of that game. And McAuliffe is just a pure midfielder, sees the ball, gets the ball, needs to tidy up his disposal, but I think with another 30 games under his belt and he gets used to the pace of AFL level and knows when he's got time to use it better and when it's time to dump it, I think he'll be a lot better as well. So there's pleasing signs there.
And Seth Campbell was another one who had a reasonably good game. He's another one that I'd love to see 50 games into as quick as possible. He seems to be feeling a bit more at home, I suppose, week in, week out. I know he's not getting, you know, your 20, 25 touches, but five marks is still a pretty good return, 10 disposals, got a goal. He just seems to be getting himself in the right positions now, which is more important.
Absolutely. And unlike a lot of our younger players, he's actually got a tank. He's running games out. You see late in the last quarter, he's still running on top of the ground, chasing.
For sure. So
I think that brings it, people like, why hasn't he been dropped, you know, for all of these other sorts of players? But he's one of the ones that's genuinely running games out, and that's what we need late in the last quarter. So I'm rapt for him to actually get on the scoreboard. I mean, I think he's missed out a couple of times over the last couple of weeks. But, yeah, he's another one. I thought Tom Brown was also pretty solid down back. I had a few Geelong supporters messaging me saying that they wished they had taken him. You know, obviously
let him kick the ball. Let him kick it, because he's a laser kick of the ball.
Yeah, he's a ripper. Our best kick in the side.
For sure, already. Yeah. And Happy for him to take over Short's role of being the man kicking the ball for the time being until Shorty gets his confidence back.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there are more positives. Again, it's been the story of the year, but it's our younger kids that are really driving the team. I think there are quite a few older players who had down games. That's all we can see. At this point, we want to see the kids stepping up. We want to see what they're made of. So
yeah, exactly. It's I know it's a crystal ball question, but I felt like we left about four really easy chances on the table in the first half, which would have made it about a 45 to 50 point game. I think that almost makes the difference. That kind of lead in that environment could almost break a team. I know during the season they may have wound it back a little bit. I just can't help but feel if we had have converted those easy chances, we actually may have gone on with it and won. And there was before the rain come down. Sonzi missed an easy one. I think Cumberland might have missed one. And there was a couple of others that missed. Lefau missed, like, we just left, as Dimmer would say, left goals on the table.
That second quarter is the one that we'd be kicking ourselves with. We were all over them, absolutely all over them. And, yeah, like, I think at one stage we were 2-6 from set shots, which is massive. Whereas Geelong at that point were like 6-1 or something. It was just massive, the difference. I thought we played the actual ground dimensions a lot better than Geelong did in that first sort of 80 minutes. You don't often see Geelong players kicking it out on the full coming out of the back line, but they did it probably 5 or 6 times throughout the course of the game, which is, again, I think the way that we defended space was a lot better. We didn't allow them that short kicking game for long periods until that last quarter. Obviously, that last quarter with the tired legs, we were able to find space and get those marks. But I think the pleasing thing for me as well is our back line held up well. They absolutely tailed up Cameron. They tailed up Hawkins.
Did a great job.
Stengel didn't really do much either. So I think, our back line definitely held up really well. And our forward line did reasonably well for the number of inside 50s we ended up having.
Miller's having a ripper year as well, and I really do think they stand a bit taller with Bolter down there. Before we speak about the next player, I do want to give a big shout-out to those who did travel to the game, because the noise the Tiger fans made was quite clearly heard on the telecast, and people might think this is petty. I don't give a shit. But I'm glad that Tom Stewart still knows that we haven't forgotten. We have not forgotten about that Prestia incident, and the Tiger faithful who were there let him have it every chance they got. And I was proud as punch when they were doing it too. It was nice to hear. It was nice to hear the Tiger Army getting stuck into them on their own deck.
Absolutely. And this is where again, I'm going to hang some shit on Geelong. I love every chance to do it. But all the whinging and crying, oh, you know, we should play big sides down here because our members miss out if we play it at the MCG, blah, blah, blah. Well, how do you explain the fact that there was probably 30% of opposition supporters at your home ground when members didn't, Geelong members didn't turn up? It's absolutely disgraceful that, they could not sell out. And there was that big of a contingent of Richmond supporters there. That's an absolute indictment on Geelong supporters, to be perfectly honest, especially primetime Saturday night. It's absolutely disgusting. They've got no leg to stand on now. They've got a bigger stadium that they can fit more supporters in, but their supporters have not turned up. Again, they're bandwagoners. They've lost four in a row and they don't turn up.
No, and it was just so heartwarming to hear the Tiger Army out there in good numbers, getting nice and loud. It was good. The next player, Caleb Smith. Now, he only had three disposals. And first of all, I want to say I'm rapt for the young man getting his debut, but I actually want to criticize the club briefly.
Yeah.
I hate the fact that we debut players as a sub. It drives me nuts. And I know getting an AFL game shouldn't be a token gesture and you've got to earn your spot and things like that. I get it. But if you're going to debut a kid, if you're going to make a big song and dance on the socials, you're going to fly his family over, do all this. Like, they cut to his poor grandma in the crowd about 40 times saying how excited she was, and he sat on the bench for 3.5 quarters. I just think it's a bit of a kick in the teeth, to be honest. We've done it a couple of times. We're not the only club. But if you're going to debut a player, give him the full game, give him that full-blown experience, let him enjoy that excitement and enjoy that moment, because I just can't imagine it would feel the same compared to a normal debut. I know he's still going to be excited, but it's just not the same.
100%. And again, as you touched on, the kid's from WA. They flew his family over. You know, they flew 4 hours to watch him sit on the bench for 110 minutes.
Yeah.
It's a poor look, and I think we've done it with nearly every debutant we've had this year.
And if it wasn't for Morris Jr. hurting himself, Lafau would have been another one who was meant to be sub.
And yeah, I don't like it. It's poor optics. I think, you know, it just adds. Imagine sitting there for 110 minutes on the bench to come on, the pressure of I've only got 10 minutes to show, you know, what I've got. Because there's no guarantee he's going to play next week now. There's no guarantee.
That's right.
I mean, so he's got 10 minutes. He's had 110 minutes to sit there and stress and worry about the game and, you know, to go out there knowing that, you know, no matter what he does, he may not be playing next week. I definitely would have played him. And even if not, I would have definitely have sub-pick it off halfway through the third quarter when he was having an absolutely disastrous spell. Like, you know, yes, Pickett has done some good things, but for every one good thing Pickett does, he does 10 poor things. And all those little tap out of contests that went straight to a Geelong player out on the clearance. And the most unforgivable one for me with Pickett was that out on the full where he tried to run around after it had just been pissing down for 20 minutes. And he slips. Like, again, just poor situational awareness. There's no need for him to do it. Like, it's just dumb mistakes that he doesn't think. So at that point, I would have subbed Smith on.
And to Ratbag's point as well, that he's coming on when everyone's completely gassed. So he's not really got the right support around him because everyone's going at half rat power. But, and like you said, he's either playing VFL next week or he has to play a full game of AFL. I don't think they tend, but for young kids in particular, I don't think they tend to go back-to-back subs. I know Camden did a few times, but he's a seasoned player. But, yeah, I just not a huge fan of it. I really wanted to see how he went. And like you said, the pressure, the internal pressure on himself to try and impress the coaching group in 8 minutes of football is quite extraordinary and not really feasible, to be honest. But anyway, hopefully he gets a crack because I thought he showed some good signs. What I did like is while he was on the ground, and I don't know if this was by design to try and get him involved, but the fact he was running down to take the kickouts too, to get his hands on the footy and get use of the ball, I thought that was really good to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was a directive. I think a lot of the older players, I know Nick Flosson and Jaden Short actually told him to go down and take it a couple of times. You could see him, you could see them directing him to the goal square.
That's so, good awareness. That's good awareness.
Good awareness. Get him involved. Get him feel like he's contributing something, and show what he's got with his kicking. Like,
yeah,
got no issues with it.
And because to compound the issue of him only having 8 minutes, the first bit of play he had, he got done holding the ball. It's like, Jesus, yeah. He's just come on, and then he's got done for that. He's going to go into his shell. So I was really glad he got a few disposals, and I really hope to see him again. Speaking of holding the ball, question for everyone. What was everyone's views on the new interpretation of the holding the ball rule? Obviously, the whistle was sped up quite substantially. And feel free to comment on if you watched other AFL games as well. The one that stood out for me was actually on Hawthorn Adelaide. One of the players on the wing got the ball, sort of took a half a step through, got his arms up and handballed it. He actually got the handball away almost simultaneously, and he got pinged for it. And then the ball went down the other end, and I think a Hawthorn player had about 5 seconds with it, wasn't paid, and they scored a goal. So there's still discrepancies. My main issue is, though, that is now actually rewarding the player second to the ball as opposed to the player being first to the ball. And that, to me, that's a fundamental issue for football. Because as a coach, you're always teaching the kids from under 9s, 10s, 11s, be first to the ball, first to the ball. Now, the player who's half a second, deliberately half a second back, is now more likely to be rewarded with the footy, which I think is the wrong message to send.
Absolutely. And Geelong kicked 2 or 3 goals from that exact scenario with holding the balls in their forward line, because they dropped off the contest for half a second and waited for... I know Baker got done for it twice. And I think, I can't remember who it was. Was it? There was one other one. It might have been Mansell. It got done. They went straight ahead. They went for the footy, picked it up, got tackled, and then got pinged for it because the Geelong player sagged off and waited for us to get the ball. And they got 3 goals from it. And that's where, again, the system is broken. Like, you need to reward the ball carrier. You can't be penalising a player for wanting to get the ball more than an opposition player. That's where it's fundamentally broken, and it needs to be looked at. Yes, I like the fact that they're blowing the whistle quicker, not letting it drag on. I think that's speeding the game up, and I do like that. But at the same time, like, they need to sort of tweak a lot of things.
Yeah, and a few people have made a point that maybe it will actually end up suiting our play style, potentially. But I still, whether it's for our team or a different team, if someone's prepared to put their head over the ball and win the hard ball get, I don't really want to see them ultimately penalised like that, like in a millisecond. Like, give them a chance to reward their effort to get rid of it instead of blowing the whistle straight away. It's a hard one, and I feel for the umpires because it's still all interpretation-based, and there's 4 different versions of that from 4 different umpires. So I think they need to change the rule, my view, completely to be a bit more clear-cut. If I was able to change it, I would have it as simple as if you take possession and you don't get a kick or a handball away, it's a free kick against. I don't know if there's any other variations you could put on that, but yeah, it was interesting. It was interesting. And like, we've already seen a few coaches already ask the question of the AFL wanting clarity on stuff. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. But all right, we'll take a look towards the game this week. We've got the Crows on Thursday night. It's a bit of a primetime slot in some ways against the Crows. They've had a bit of an up and down year. They probably thought they would be doing a little bit better than what they are currently. But we'll have a look. We'll talk about the ins and outs first. There's 2 big ones. The first one is Bolton, because his 12-day concussion protocol technically ends on the Thursday. I seriously don't know what the ruling is. I've seen mixed messages. I've seen some people say that it ends at 12 o'clock, like midnight Wednesday, and he's got to pass a test Thursday to deem if he's able to play. Some people have said, no, he can't play. So I'm not too sure. What's your view on it? Do you think Bolton is legal to play provided he passes the right tests?
I think he should play. And I think it depends on if we decide to rest a certain player this week. if that's the case, I do expect that Bolton will play. I do think that, Bolton needs to come in. Like, I don't understand why the rule wouldn't allow him. It's obviously past the 12 days. So as long as there's no lasting effects, there's no delayed concussion symptoms, what, which...
I suppose because it was on the 12 days. I don't know if there's been a case like that. Surely there has been, but yeah, it was just an interesting conundrum. Surely he plays. I'm with you. Surely he plays.
Yeah. And like, this is, speaking of the 5 days, can I just go on a bit of a rant here about the absolute shit show that is AFL scheduling? We've had 3 5-day breaks this year and only one bye. Sydney have had no 5-day breaks and have already had their 2 byes this year.
Is that right?
Okay. That's right. Like, how is that even remotely fair? Like, the scheduling has been an absolute shit show this year.
It doesn't surprise me. We've copped a few of those, but
yeah. But yeah, no, definitely Bolton comes in for me. Bolton for Dusty. I think we have to make that call. I think
That's your $1 million question, isn't it, Grok? Do we play Dusty this week and have his 300th in Adelaide, or will we see the words managed next to his name and he will play his 300th at the MCG versus the Hawks? I think we'll rest him. I don't think they'll play his 300th. Like, we've got nothing to gain by winning. It's not like the season's on the line. I'm tipping we're going to rest him.
Yeah, I mean, that from what I've heard, that's been the plan the whole time, was that he was never going to play Adelaide and was always going to play 300th against the Hawks. That's what I've been hearing from, like, round two, round three.
And actually, ironically, the 5-day break probably helps give reason behind it too. So he's an older player, 5-day break with travel. We don't want to risk him. We want him to have the week off, stay at home and play at the G. So it actually, if you took the 300th part out of it, even if we were to do that normally, it would actually logically make sense to still do that.
Yep, absolutely. Definitely. And I don't think Prestia played on the weekend, did he?
No.
So, yeah, same thing, obviously, coming off with the break. Prestia is another that'll come in. I think we'll make 3 changes. It'll have to be LaFleur, Dusty. And I feel for him, but I want it to be short, but I reckon Caleb Smith's probably going to be dropped and you'll have Bolton.
What about Pickett? Was he cramp or was it injury?
It was calf tightness.
Okay. So off the 5-day as an older player, he could be at risk as well.
Could potentially be Pickett if he hasn't gotten up. If it is, it'd be LaFleur, Dusty, Pickett. You'd say Bolton, Prestia, and I want to see Campbell Gray. I want to keep Bolter down back. I don't want to bring anyone else in to move Bolter back forward. I think that'd be one of the worst things we could do. Could even be Cozzy coming in.
What about a few people have mentioned Bauer as a potential to come in? Apparently, he took a scream in the VFL.
He did. He took an absolute ripper. I think the only thing with Bauer is he's only played 2 VFL games since he's been back.
Right. He's had a lot of interruptions, hasn't he?
Yeah. That's my only query with Bauer. We've seen what's happened with Prestia coming back from a long layoff with no preparation. We've seen what's happened to Graham. I don't think we want to do it with Bauer, who could potentially be in our best 22 come towards the end of the season. So, Toronto is still a couple of weeks away. Hopper is probably another month away again. Mm. Yeah, Pickett with the middle finger soreness.
I like that. It's very good, folks. Well done.
The funniest thing was they go to Richo and ask him about his thoughts on it. Richo's acting like he doesn't know what they're talking about.
That was very good.
I definitely think Dusty doesn't play.
Dusty doesn't play. And so you reckon you would rather Campbell Gray come in, you think, just because he's played more of a forward role? Because if Blight comes in, that would strongly suggest Bolter going back down the other end, which we don't want.
Yeah, I think Gray's played both ends. So I think he's the one that comes in, because if we do want to shift Bolter forward, Gray can go down.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So I think it's a bit of a like for like. But again, as Toast said, I believe Blight was more ready made for AFL. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. Speaking of, we haven't done a draft since the draft. What did you make of the picks?
It addressed our immediate needs, and I think maybe even a bit longer term as well. They both look okay. They're going to have to play sooner rather than later, so we're going to find out one way or another. But I do like the look of Blight. I think he could be a pretty, especially with Young out for a year. I think that was where that was a really good choice, because he could partner with Bolter down back and Miller, and they could kind of form the back three. He seems to have a lot of good size about him, because obviously Gibkiss missing as well. So I think he might be a chance to play later in the year, if not early next year potentially. But I didn't mind him. I thought we may have taken one more though. I was surprised when they took two.
I was expecting us to take a ruckman. I think we're one injury from Nank away from being absolutely screwed, because obviously Naismith's gone down. If that's the case, it's either Miller, Cozzy, Ryan, or Bolter that goes in the ruck.
Yeah,
and that doesn't give me a lot of confidence.
No, it's not. Yeah, you're right. I suppose they've just rolled the dice a little bit, haven't they? But that could turn the shit real quick for us.
And we know what Nang's injury history is like, so.
Or suspension.
Yeah. So, yeah, Gray has rucked.
Oh, Gray has rucked, okay.
But he's only 193 centimetres, so he's not exactly.
He's not a number one-er.
Yeah.
Did Blight get 20 disposals and 10 marks in his first hit out of EFL?
Yeah, 20 disposals, 9 marks.
That's quite extraordinary, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to do it at Waffle level, but to make that transition, whole new teammates, whole new game plan within 5 days and do that, that's pretty good going. I respect that.
Yeah, club see him and Gibkiss as our Broad and Grimes replacements long term.
Yeah, okay. I like it. We've got to back him in. I mean, it's just nice. Obviously, we've gone so many drafts drafting smaller midfielder flanker types. It's actually good to see a few bigger bodies get picked up now, which was good, albeit in shit circumstances. But, we should see how they go. All right, well, how are we going to knock off the Crows this week? The Crows, I think they might be Taylor Walker short, potentially. I'm not sure if he'll get up. Dawson's got a bit of injury troubles. I know he played last week, but he's been kind of battling for a little bit. They could Crouch. I think Crouch did his shoulder. He's gone, so he'll be out for the rest of the season. So they've copped a few big injuries as well this week. If there's a time to try and rattle them, it could be this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just trying to see where. So Rankin's still 2 weeks away.
Yep.
Which is a massive help. Obviously, Malira and Himmelberg are solid outs for them as well. Taylor Walker should play. He's not listed on the injury list at the moment, but that hasn't been updated for this week. I think, again, we just need to bring the pressure. That has to be our number one thing. We need to bring exactly what we did against Geelong, match them in the contest. Obviously, Matt Crouch is massive for them. Dawson as well is another. We need to really shut down Dawson. Sets up a lot for them.
Oh, his marking behind the ball is ridiculous. If Dawson and Crouch are out, that's some big outs for them.
Yeah, they'll definitely play. So Dawson, Tex and Crouch. Yeah, well, that changes. That definitely changes a lot of things. I think if that's the case, it's going to be interesting. So
we've got some good mids. Saligo's had a really good year for them. Rory Laird's, you know, always doing good things.
Yeah,
but it starts to, and like it does with every club, it starts to test their depth a little bit. So that's going to make things interesting. Fogarty up forward. I like Fogarty. I'm kind of surprised they've kept Tex around for as long as they have, because I thought Fogarty wanted to be the main man. But he will be, I suppose, the main forward. And Keyes is probably, I don't know who's going to come in for the other guys not playing, but Keyes is probably their next best forward. I feel like our back line could match up okay against him, depending on who comes in. But it feels like we might match up okay.
Yeah, obviously you've got Rochelle there, who's capable of kicking a bag if he pulls his finger out. I'd based on that, I'd back our back line into smother their defense as long as Bolter stays back. If Bolter stays back, I reckon we've got them covered. it's just it's the midfield battle. I think that's where it comes down to. And O'Brien, like, obviously he's a very solid AFL ruckman. We need Nank to absolutely battle it out. We can't have O'Brien getting a hold of him around the ground.
Yeah, exactly. And if we're getting someone like Prestia back this week, that's another really good addition into the midfield. Graham has another week under his belt. Obviously, Dow is still doing his thing. McCall is still learning. So we start to look a little bit more consistent in the middle, which is a good thing. And yeah, if Dawson and Crouch are missing, hopefully we can at least break even on that front.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be surprised if McAuliffe goes massive back in Adelaide. No doubt he'll have a lot of family and friends at the game. So I reckon this is one that he's set himself for.
And if Taranto's in, like, I've not heard any of these whispers, but if Taranto's in as well, yeah, if you're adding Bolton, Taranto, Prestia, that is music to our ears, that assuming they all stay on the park and are fit and ready to go. It would be very good. And then it just comes down to the forward line. Obviously, we lose Lefau. Mark Keane's a pretty good intercept mark. Brody Smith, very good rebounder. So we're just going to make sure
Smith is copping a lot of crap from Adelaide fans at the moment. They want him out of the side. So there's every chance that he gets dropped, yeah.
Always on
his form hasn't been great, yeah.
Well, we're just going to make sure that we lower our eyes and hit our targets again. You know, Cumberland's got to have to, Cumberland, I actually didn't mind him doing that defensive forward role on Stewart. I thought it was a good move for him to give him a directive. His defensive stuff was okay. He had a couple of really good passes, kicked a goal. So he could maybe do a job on someone back there. And Samson Ryan, a lot of it is going to hinge on how well he plays. And I don't want to put a lot of pressure on the young kid, but if he can play sort of anywhere near like what he did in the Cats game, that's going to give us great chances to be able to compete up forward.
Absolutely. If Bolton is in, I'd almost be tempted to play Bolton out of the square. I think midfield is covered. I mean, at this point, what Bolton's going to give us through the midfield, we're probably lacking up forward. So I'd much rather him be up forward this game, providing a target, than through the midfield, especially if Presti is back. I don't think Taranto plays. Taranto's still at least a week away. Yeah, Bolton, for me, I think he provides such a difficult target to match up on up forward, and I think he'll stretch the Crows, especially that because he almost plays similar to what Lefau does as that lead-up, mark-jumping player at the ball. So even though he's a good 20 centimetres shorter than Lefau, his leap more than makes up for it. So I could see him being probably our number one target up forward.
Well, it's going to be a fascinating game. I really hope they can back up that pressure. Like I said, I don't expect them to do it for four quarters, but if we can do it for another two, and if we can just apply the scoreboard pressure and take our chances, we could be half a chance here. So Adelaide seem a little bit vulnerable at the moment with their outs. It could be a good time to get a win on the board potentially. So with that said, let's get a tip, including margins. Grok, who are you going with and by how much?
It's tough because I really do think we're a chance to win, but I do think, again, we'll run out of puff towards the end. I'll say Adelaide by five. I think it'll be a close one.
We might be a sneaky chance on the road here with some of the players coming back. I'll say the Tigers by 11, but we're going to need to build up a decent lead because I'm not sure if we can sustain it just yet. But yeah, if we just show good signs like last week, I think we'll be happy. And then we can obviously try and then gear up for a big one the following week. But I'm a little bit torn because we obviously want to win games, but I am also mindful of the fact that not winning isn't that bad of an idea given what's at the other end of it. But it's just about get some games into the young kids, let them have a crack. And most importantly, as Brett points out, I'll be happy with no injuries. That would be the biggest W of the lot if we can get away with no injuries.
Yeah, I'd take that over 4 points.
100%. Yeah, if we can get through a week without injuries, that would be an absolute godsend. And then we start to get some players back and we get to see what the young kids look like with some of the older heads in the side as well, which is going to be really important. So,
absolutely.
All right, well, thank you, Grok, for joining me tonight. Much appreciated. Thank you to everyone for tuning in. Appreciate everyone jumping on board despite the slightly later start. Thank you for being understanding. And hopefully, we're back on Monday night, hopefully with a win under our belt. And look, I know we didn't show Dusty much love, but I suppose on behalf of the show, we do want to say, in case he does play this week, what an absolute superstar of the footy club and the game, and we wish him all the best in his 300th. But I have a very funny feeling Grock will be having this conversation next week, not this week. But we thought we'd say, just in case, to cover ourselves, that he does play. But I dare say it's going to be a conversation for next Monday night.
Yeah, absolutely. A little footnote there that just covering our asses a little bit in case he does play.
Absolute, that's it.
Absolute ripper player, absolute champion bloke. And for someone who's been smashed by the media, and can I just say, go fuck yourselves, media. Like, Dusty is going to do what he wants in regards to the media commitments, and he's got every right to after the shit that you've put out about him over the last 15 years. Yeah, fair play, Dusty. Do what you do, mate. Like, take the week off. If you want to play, obviously, I think it's going to be Dusty's call if he wants to play or not. I think he'll have that right to call it. But, yeah, like, he's absolute champion.
And if he is rested, I would love the club to list the official reason as 300th next week. Just don't even try and hide it. Just put
delayed
it out there. Just
celebration. Delayed celebration.
Just own it. Just who cares?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, gosh. All right. Have a good night, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will speak to you all next week. Until next time, go Tigers.
Go Tigers.